recognizes City Council has been leading the dialogue with regard to equity, and you've demonstrated how public investment can advance a city's social equity goals. While Portland has never implemented a community benefits agreement in the past for a large-scale publicly subsidized development project, this has been accomplished in other areas, and we firmly believe that we can accomplish that objective here in Portland. During the process, we also heard from specific community groups with an interest in future Rose Quarter development, like the Elliott Neighborhood Association, which is working with Portland Arena Management to develop a good neighbor agreement between future operators and developers of the Rose Quarter and the Elliott neighborhood. This agreement will address issues such as traffic, noise, parking, and other issues related to the operation of the Rose Quarter facilities. If the development rights are extended for 6 months and Portland Arena Management and the City of Portland and PDC are able to formulate a project proposal, then our hope is that PAM and its development partners will work with the community to develop a complete good neighbor agreement and a community benefits agreement before any development agreement is put in place. So once again, we would like to see both a community benefits agreement and a good neighbor agreement. Speaking on behalf of the Rose Quarter Community Benefits Subcommittee and the Portland Development Commission, we're very eager to see development move forward in this area with greater community participation and greater benefits for all of Portland residents. So speaking in line with Commissioner Chair Andrews, I strongly urge you to move forward with this extension, and we look forward to the development in the area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your work. And the history hopefully is well known by now, but Memorial Coliseum was a project without adequate public support for at its inception. As history is told, the public came together and voted in favor of it only after it was designated as a veterans memorial. So our commitment to keeping it and to enhancing the veterans aspect of it is sincere and adamant, and Tony Stacy has been representing veterans on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Commissioners, Mayor Adams, veterans, and everyone else in the room here, good morning. Thank you for allowing me on behalf of Oregon veterans a few minutes to speak to you regarding the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the development of the Rose Quarter District. During the process of the Rose Quarter development meetings, the veteran community has been invited to participate in discussions concerning the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the surrounding district. Those persons who have served this country have always been and will continue to be a valuable part of this community. Veterans span all social strata, from the highly educated successful to the jobless and homeless. Because of current events worldwide, veterans' numbers continue to grow. These veterans are reintegrating into communities in Oregon and nationwide. The modifications to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum will ensure its place as a vital component of the redevelopment of the Rose Quarter District. Veterans and their families and friends will make the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Quarter District a destination point for years to come. Through conversations and meeting with the City of Portland, the Portland Development Commission, the Stakeholders Advisory Committee, the Trailblazers and Winterhawk Organization, veterans feel confident that by giving an extension for developmental rights, the community will, as a whole, achieve their goal. This will create jobs and economic growth. The Rose Quarter District will not only help serve the surrounding area, but will have far-reaching effects throughout the City of Portland and the State of Oregon. These bold steps are writing history. In a recent meeting at the Memorial Coliseum, which took place last year, we invited the Medal of Honor recipient, Senator Inouye of Hawaii, and it was stated that veterans across the U.S. and overseas are watching and seeing this as Portland taking the lead in recognition and honoring of veterans, providing them with a place of resources, information, community, and solace. Additionally, this strategy can be and might be mirrored in other cities nationally. Without the opportunity to participate in this process, the veterans' voices would not have been heard. Veterans endorse the continuation of the developmental rights to the Blazer organization. We wish to thank the Blazers, the Winterhawks, the Portland Development Commission, and the City of Portland and all its staff for allowing us to voice in our opinion. For that, I and the Oregon veterans thank you.
Thank you. Mayor, I have just one question, if I may, direct it to Charles. Charles, you referred to a set of principles you've developed for the
negotiation over a community benefits agreement. I don't see that as part of the packet. It may be part of a larger packet we got, but that could also help a number of us inform other work we're doing,
sure,
even unrelated to this. So if I would request a copy of that.
Sure. There are many capable and able PDC staffers present, so I'm sure you'll probably get about five or six copies now.
Thank you. And and what's up with Jesuit?
We won't get into that.
Sort of an embarrassment of riches. No other team gets to compete in soccer in the state?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, well.
So if I might just comment on the Good Neighbor Agreement, I really appreciate your work on the Community Benefits Committee and the Good Neighbor Agreement. And as you move forward, I think the more that you could tie the Good Neighbor Agreement to the Developments Agreement, there's a lot of interest in the community to have it enforceable, like the PGE Park Agreement.
Yes.
So I would be looking for that when this comes back to us.
Yeah, there's a very solid presentation made with regard to Good Neighbor Agreements. And as I mentioned, Portland Arena Management is already in negotiations with regard to that agreement with regard to the Elliott neighborhood. And it was assumed that it would be incorporated within the community benefits agreement.
Well, there's been some challenges in the past with good neighbor agreements not being enforceable. And mm-hmm. And I know you're working with Judith Mary in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and with the mayor. So just wanting to point out that that is a desire that I know the mayor shares.
It is. And I just want to point out that Keith Wachowski, who facilitated the agreement for PG Park, has a great resource on this particular issue. The community good neighbor agreement with PG Park and the surrounding neighborhoods is has been upheld and has been followed through on. So it is a gold standard that we're doing. So PDC has a record on this of creating agreements with third and fourth parties that are followed through on.
Yeah. And it was the expectation of the committee that there would be a negotiating committee formed as well as a monitoring committee, and that will address aspects of the good neighbor agreement as well.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you. Scott, in your testimony, you alluded to the plan coming back to us in May. In fact, the resolution says on May 24th, we'll get a report back to the council regarding some of the more technical aspects of the redevelopment agreement. But concurrent with that, I note that the resolution also says that the Office of Management Finance, working with PDC, will begin negotiating with the Blazers, Pam, on really kind of a financial agreement to fund those projects. And frankly, that's what I'm most interested in. Is it your plan to have those negotiations occur concurrent with the work that will be brought before council for consideration in May?
Yes.
So is there some possibility that those negotiations would be concluded by that time?
Six months might be tight, but I think we will be much further along in terms of being able to show you something that's real.
In terms of financing?
In terms of both project and financing.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
And in fairness, I've said it before, but I probably should have said it in my comments. One of the reasons I think continuation of this agreement makes sense is that we've had good, constructive, useful discussions with the Blazers and other property owners in the larger district, which we're now viewing the larger district from Blanchard all the way to the convention center. Those conversations have been going very well. They're not definitive yet. We're in the midst of, in some cases, negotiating. But my goal is to come back with not just conceptual, but actually the kind of numbers that are that you're asking for. What is the financial? What is a public-private financial deal? What will it look like? That's important. An important reminder to anyone listening is that the money we have is not adequate to build and achieve what the public expects in this part of town. So that's why we're looking at the public-private partnership as we haven't had in other parts of town, and it will have to be open book so everyone will see.
So I appreciate that explanation because I want to note, and it's important to note and emphasize a point you just made. We have, according to Scott, $20 million in money to invest in this area. the Coliseum by itself, if the plan were just to come back and upgrade the existing facilities so they met standards, far exceeds the $20 million. So for me, from my relationship with this area since I've been on council in general, but more specifically since Mayor Adams has been mayor, is to focus on not just what we envision could be there, but what are people in the private sector willing to invest to make that happen. I know of one project where I felt pretty good about that. This one, my only skepticism remains not in the vision, not in the plan, but the commitment, the binding commitment that private parties are willing to make to obviously exceed, augment the $20 million we have. So in May, just to send a fair warning, that's going to be my focus. I'm not one to get in and micromanage what a project should look like or what I think it should be, but rather when I see one that is funded to a level that can actually happen and people are committed from the private sector to invest in, that's the one I will rally behind. So I think that's a critical part of this discussion as we move forward from today. Thank you, Mayor Adams.
And if I might follow up on that, my understanding is that this is a development agreement. This is an amendment so that we can continue negotiating a further development agreement. And the reason that we're doing this with Portland Arena Management is because of that limited funding that Commissioner Leonard referred to, with the $20 million being pretty much the maximum that the city could commit to. We had a process where we had 95 different suggestions for what might happen with the Memorial Coliseum. And while we selected some finalists, this is the only one of those finalists that might come with a significant private commitment. Is that, in a nutshell, why we're pursuing this right now and how we're going forward?
Well, I think I'd broaden it a little bit because we're also hoping to be able to put a little bit bigger project together than just the renovation of the Coliseum at this point. But the design phase is very preliminary. You're going to get a chance to see the overall. Mike McCullough has got a presentation for you, but we expect, as Randy is looking forward, to be able to be much more specific in terms of some of the things that we'd like to accomplish and hopefully have some private partners that are ready to step up and help us make that happen.
Can I just get a clarification, though, based on this exchange?
As long as it's not about soccer.
Okay. I don't even talk about soccer anymore. I'm in mourning. My two favorite teams lost, and I won't even comment on Jesuit's role in that.
I didn't say anything. I was trying to be nice.
But when you teed this up, Scott, you said that we had this opportunity and a timeline to spend $20 million that's in the district. And so can we infer from that you believe there is a potential development deal here that can be financed out of the existing district, or is a moving piece the possibility of reconfiguring the lines of any other urban renewal districts?
I think it's a moving piece. I mean, obviously we're going to be looking for all of the benefits that would accrue, the public benefits, the jobs, the meeting our economic development strategy. But we still haven't solved or finalized the piece of the north-northeast expansion. We put that on hold until we decided what we were going to do with the Memorial Coliseum and perhaps some development. So, yes, there's still a piece of that.
But $20 million may not actually be the ceiling in terms of a public investment that you may recommend to us for a comprehensive vision for this.
The $20 million is what exists today within the Convention Center District. Without taking away from any of the other planned projects in that district, and also to clarify, in the past you probably have heard one piece of that was $15 million worth of funding that we thought we were going to have to sell as deferred interest bonds, but the economy has changed or the district has grown enough so that's not necessary now. So we can actually sell the traditional bonds that we're used to there. So,
thank you.
And just a slight clarification, because these things, there's always a lot of moving parts, are expanded, as you will see from Mike McCullough in a minute, who's facilitating all the best ideas and minds around the planning of the actual district, the physical aspects of it. Because we've included the wider swath up to Blanchard in our conceptualization, that already, as you know, is already in the interstate urban renewal area. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. We'll now hear from Patrick Quinton, who's going to, it's an opportunity for us to give you a very brief 8 minutes, and the great Jennifer Nolfi, a very eight-minute brief, as in 8 minutes update on our cluster targeted industry strategy we now call athletic and outdoor. Used to be called activewear and outdoor gear.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. I'm Patrick Quinton. I'm the manager of the Business and Industry Division for the Portland Development Commission. I am joined by Jennifer Nolfi, and we truly do appreciate the opportunity to talk about the great work that we're doing on the athletic and outdoor industry. And that's why I brought Jennifer, because she's really has been responsible for all the great work. So I'm going to do a quick overview on how this fits within our economic development strategy, but I'm really going to let Jennifer get into the details on the work of this industry and how it might relate to plans at the Rose Quarter. I think you all know that our economic development strategy places a priority on working with traded sector firms, which we believe are the primary driver of quality job growth in our region, and to prioritize our work in those in the traded sector firms, we've picked four industries. And obviously, there are a lot of industries within Portland that create jobs. We, in choosing the four, we tried to find the ones that offered the best opportunity for growth and that had the best opportunity to compete in global markets. And so we did have a set of criteria, as you can see, talked about the existing concentration of firms and talent in the region, the opportunity for growing their market share around the world. Competitive advantage, obviously, relative to other locations, and certainly we want ultimately these firms to have the potential to create jobs within the city of Portland. I think it's probably fairly obvious to folks who've been in this region that the athletic and outdoor industry fits those criteria probably as well as any industry, and in fact, it's probably long overdue that we've focused on this industry to the degree that we're focusing on it now and that we've gotten as smart about this industry as we're getting. But you can see that when you add up the statistics on this industry and match it up against the criteria that I just listed, we really do have a unique advantage in this industry and an industry that I think is still poised for more growth. We have incredible concentration of firms and expertise, and we have an industry that has a long history of creating very high wage jobs throughout the region. The employment in this region is massive, and it's important to note, if you know, we talk a lot about clusters, this is as perfect a cluster structure as you can ask for, because we have three global anchors that not only drive job growth in the region but are a source of innovation for the region and spin out a lot of talent as well for smaller companies. So we really believe that all these factors add up to make this a great industry to focus on, and as Jennifer will get into, an industry that we think could have a home in the Rose Quarter. So before I turn over to Jennifer, what I'd like to do is take an opportunity to show this very short video that we produced that we unveiled last night at an industry event that was quite successful. About 200, 250 people, industry people showed up. As the mayor mentioned, Nike, Adidas, Columbia Sportswear all spoke in support of our work, and so I'd like to show this video. Thank you.
There we go. It's been said a million times, if you're going to start a shoe company, the only place to do it is in Portland, Oregon. Wisdom extends to all kinds of athletic and outdoor products. So a bunch of people who care deeply about the strength of the athletic and outdoor brand in Portland and Oregon got together in the fall of 2009 to talk to the industry leaders here and figure out how together we could collaborate, educate, and innovate to keep building the industry brand.
We talked to anchor companies like Nike, Columbia Sportswear, Adidas, that drive the region's brand and credibility, and newer entrepreneurs like Wicked Quick, LoopedWorks, and Loon, which also contribute creative impetus and connections to culture and quality of life. We assembled statistics. More than 14,000 workers statewide. More than 700 firms with a payroll that in 2008 totaled nearly $1.2 billion. Average annual wages more than $80,000, and as many as 3,200 self-employed people who generate sales revenues of more than $95 million. We learned that talent is king, that the ability to combine career with personal passions in a supportive environment is a decisive advantage, and that where we are matters. We learned that green is both a core value and a spark for innovation, and we pressed ahead with collaborative initiatives like the Outdoor Industry Association's Eco Index, which PDC supported from its bare beginnings, and the launch of the Portland Center for Design and Innovation, a potential game changer for materials design here. More than anything, what's clear is that change is the only constant. Global markets expand, young companies develop niche products, talent moves around, startups become industry players, even closures can inspire fresh ideas and new businesses. Today, the A&O industry is on the move with an action plan powered by leadership, talent, innovation and entrepreneurship, connection and advocacy, sustainability, and branding. Together, we can push the boundaries of what's possible.
See it one more time, just in case you didn't. Good morning. Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. That film really was...
Who are you?
Jennifer Nolfi. I'm a manager of the Athletic and Outdoor Industry at the Portland Development Commission. Thank you. That film and last night's event that the mayor and Patrick talked about was really a culmination of 12 months' work of talking to industry leaders, having dialogue and roundtables and interviews and an online survey to really figure out what our challenges and opportunities are working with the athletic and outdoor industry. And as one of the results is, we're now calling it athletic and outdoor. In addition, we've launched a firm of over 300, a directory of over 300 firms on our website. And our real critical next phase is the action plan. So where do we identify opportunities for collaboration? You saw some of those referenced in the film. And we are going to build on the momentum from last night and the past 12 months to engage industry leaders in an industry-led action plan. We see that there's tremendous opportunity in connecting to the Rose Quarter and really highlighting the talent and the firms that we have in Portland and the region. Obviously, we have the big three anchors here, Columbia Sportswear, Adidas, and Nike, as the drivers of the industry. We have a number of small and medium-sized companies. So we see the opportunity for both large and small firms to be part of the Rose Quarter project. We also feel that there's a real opportunity with professional sports activities that are happening there to create and really bring alive this idea of this living lab where you have athletes, but you also have people, consumers, trying new products and experimenting, which also informs product development going forward, possibly exposing new people to ways to experience the outdoors through rock climbing activities or other things like that. We've already been talking to the Oregon University system about collaboration around product testing, footwear development program, apparel research and those things. There's a real opportunity to bring together industry and higher education at this center, if you will, as well. And finally, one of the things we heard again through the studies is there's a real opportunity to create more visibility for the brand and the companies that we have here. So giving people a physical place where they can see the talent and the companies that are here in the athletic and outdoor industry. So we're very excited about the opportunities and continuing the discussion.
So we talk about the big three anchor brands that have been here for some time, but the numbers show that the vast majority are actually small, and it went by very quickly on the video about the sole proprietors, which means one-person companies. Can you talk about how this is actually a small business sector?
Yes, absolutely. There's 3,200 self-employed individuals in this industry, which are really individual contract design, product designers, graphic designers, marketing people, and other types of professions that are really critical to this industry. And so obviously, making sure that the space is accessible and affordable is key. We think there's tremendous connectivity to both the north and south of the Rose Quarter, given all the activity that's happening with a lot of small firms in this industry. So I think there would need to be a combination of large and small firms in this area to really make it happen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll now hear from Mike. You'll stick around if there are questions at the end. No, you can go back to your seat. So for those that don't know Mike McCullough, he has been on a variety of official committees for the city. He is an outstanding urban designer, and he plays well with others. He works well with others. So in addition to his great own keen sense of design and problem-solving, he's really good at sort of getting the best out of the minds and ideas of all Portlanders. So glad you're on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could you say that again?
Yes, I know.
I appreciate it. And I really want to emphasize that this is a very, very special moment in urban design. So I want to talk a little bit about the process, and then I'll show you some of the plans that we've come up with to date. The very special moment, I think, is that there's been a lot of planning, a lot of thought, many proposals, and much political capital spent getting to the point where we are now. So my job, as it's been described by my client, the Portland Development Commission, is to listen carefully to that history, listen carefully to the concerns of both the public and private sectors, and to try to craft both a process and a plan that will bring those things together to make a successful first, second, and third steps towards the full utilization of the district. So that's what I'm about. One of the first things that I was asked to do was to look at how this district would fit into the overall planning scheme of the city and it really regionally. A number of years ago, I led a team that looked at the Oregon Convention Center as a district that was suffering from many of the same issues that this district suffers from, essentially isolation, great big box that's utilized part of the time, and where is the district around it? Where's the civilization around it? When people come to the convention center, sometimes they ask, well, I'm here, but where's Portland? So I think looking at the Rose Quarter, we have some of those same issues in operation. Big venues that need all kinds of large-scale services, including parking, big places for crowds, et cetera. But how do you tie that into the city? So I think you tie it into the city by making sure that the process that's gone to design this is compatible with the overall planning processes that the city is underway with. The 2035 plan is on its way. The first quadrant that the 2035 plan is looking at is the northeast quadrant. So it's very appropriate to be planning this large-scale puzzle piece in this bigger-scale puzzle piece. So that's one thing. I think I want to honor the processes that have led to this so far, led to the Rose Quarter plan so far, because I think although they've been difficult and there's been some rancor about, well, are you really going to tear that down? Are you going to move this? Are you going to move that? I think it's resulted in a collective understanding of what this district could be and the creation of what you've heard described as an authentic district, a district that's really a representation of our region and of our city and of some of our key industries and really the aspirations of our culture. So in one way, I want to say it's going to be an easy process to connect all of these dots, but I think you have in the room here some really major players who are very experienced in this, and so I think the Portland Development Commission putting together a project that conducts all of that together to create a successful project is really what we're about. There's several things I want to say about the Rose Quarter District first before I show you the plan that's currently in discussion. The first thing I want to say about it is that it dramatically needs better connections in every direction, that it won't succeed as an island. It will only succeed if it is better connected to the rest of the city. It's cut off by I-5, it's cut off by the river, the two bridges, et cetera. You all know the district, so you know the problem. So concentrating on connectivity is really, really important. I think a second thing about it is connecting and acknowledging the adjacent districts that have strengths, the Lloyd District and the Convention Center District, and really connecting across the Broadway and steel bridges to the River District is really going to be critical. I think this district can play a first major role in addressing the river, really bringing people down to the river. So there are players involved in this, there are landowners that I think are looking for some surety about where this district is going in order to say, okay, we can make our properties play in this game, we can profit from this and make this work for the city as well. So connectivity, connecting to the other districts, and then being authentic are the key issues. And I think Sam's, the mayor, has made that really, really clear that this is an authentic district. So what I would like to do, how do I bring this plan up?
There you go.
And can you all see that? Is it clear?
Yeah, do you want to use the cursor to point things out, though? You might need to move over.
Let's see, maybe. Okay. So what we have here, what you're looking at, is really the first concept of bringing these pieces together. And what you'll notice, and what I want to call your attention to, is the central focus of the district really is the Memorial, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And it has really two major sides to it. One, facing into the plaza, where it connects to the Rose Garden, the parking structures, and the office building that's here. But it also has a major role in potentially addressing the river. I'm sure all of you have been on the concourse in the Memorial Coliseum, and you've seen what the possibilities are for the views looking from this side of the building back out over the river to the various layers of the city. You can literally see the history of the city in layers moving from east to west. So one of the parts of the plan is to really look very carefully at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, strengthen the veterans' presence there, increase the number of facilities for them, and potentially look at the memorials as being strengthened, broadened, maybe brought out to a more prominent location. And as I said, we're still in the process of that, and this drawing is really propositional. A second part of the plan to date is the strengthening of the Broadway connection. Here's Broadway coming in, going west, and here's Widler going east into the neighborhood. Well, when you step out to 40,000 feet, you'll see that the Broadway connection is the major east-west connection connecting northeast with northwest. The potential to actually link this district to another major opportunity that the Development Commission is looking at with the post office, I think, is enormous. And to imagine that you're looking at two parts of a major puzzle piece of the future of the city with a major institution or industry here connected to the major industry that we're talking about here is a great future potential. These two sites, this is privately owned by a prominent developer who owns the storage warehouse that's right under the cursor here. And there's a proposal for a housing project here. a first phase tower or development here could create the kind of gateway that we're looking to create to strengthen this connection through Broadway. This district around here is seen as being, you know, my dream would be to bring a bunch of old warehouses from the east side of the Thames in London and drop them down here and make them available for the kind of industry that we're talking about. The characteristics of that are smaller scale, lower rent, easy to change. You could live there, work there, change them with a skill saw on the weekend. That's the whole idea of some of these areas. The Left Bank, I think if you've seen that project, that's a really good start in that direction. So if you imagined more and more of that, we're also looking at skinning the parking structures both on their north and east faces, but also potentially over the top, creating an athletic venue over the top. There are a number of different proposals for that. The changing of the entry ramp to the I-5 going south, which people sort of rocket right out of the Rose Garden here and head right down into a very difficult situation, that could potentially be relocated to open up that street to more pedestrian-friendly activities. There's also a possibility of making a connection across here, a pedestrian connection that strengthens the connection to the Lloyd District through to the Rose Quarter. We also have recognized that there's a difficulty with the station area, the TriMet, kind of what I call a ganglia here, which it works, but it's a dangerous place to be as a pedestrian. We're looking at that. We're trying to create a scheme that will strengthen the connection to the convention center as well. And as I said, if the Memorial Coliseum, Veterans Memorial Coliseum, could open up to the west, that could animate a whole bunch of property here and give some surety to this owner that the development in here, in the internal parts of the Rose Quarter, will be more stable and figured out so that investment could be made on this part of the river. So it's a draft. I've been around talking with many of the stakeholders, and I still have lots of rounds to do. The Blazers, Jay Isaacs has been very helpful to me. The Winterhawks have been very helpful. There's a lot of enthusiasm about this whole plan to date and to the prospect of actually having a first phase really move forward quickly. So I'm honored to be in this position, but I also think that you have a really great team of people at the Portland Development Commission and the players who are working in here that are working in concert to try to make this happen.
Discussion from council.
So you have on there the office towers on the river. Wouldn't that conflict with the views of the Coliseum?
All depends on how big they are. It could be that they could be combination medium to low rise too. We haven't really looked at the three-dimensional characteristics. That's next.
We do have the central city plan policy that we have to have a step down to the river, so I don't think they could be higher than the Coliseum.
Right, but the Coliseum is up a good 45 meters from the river, so that you could get quite tall buildings in there. I mean, you could get quite a bit of capacity in there.
There is the existing zoning throughout the larger district, if you look at it, might or might not be something, the status quo that we prefer. So that's why Mike, the team is taking sort of a design approach of what's desirable and then looking back at the zoning.
Yeah, I like what's on the other side of the river with the Station Place development, with fairly low development by the river, which then allows you to see Union Station, and I would be looking to see something similar.
Sure, understood.
Mm-hmm. If I could, just one more thing to highlight the discussions with the Winterhawks. There's been a lot of sort of media around the discussions with the Blazers, and that's appropriate. But the discussions with the Winterhawks and the relatively new owner and leadership of the Winterhawks have been incredibly constructive, positive. We're really glad that we have an owner in the Winterhawks and management there that are actively interested in getting the best, in the very best sense of the word, out of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Well, I would just springboard off that first by saying I share those same sentiments about the Winterhawks and the new ownership and the commitment they've made. It makes an economically viable plan more possible given that ownership, which is related to the question I had. And so maybe I misunderstand your role vis-a-vis the Portland Development Commission, but I was listening very carefully to your testimony, and I appreciated the remarks about the opening up the west side of the Coliseum to the river. I very much appreciated your remarks about relocating the Veterans Memorial, which I think is something that should happen so that it's more visible in a much more grander scale as well. And I could go into some detail on that, but I won't. But what I didn't hear was how we're going to pay for those various goals that you outlined. So the concern that I've had ongoing about this process has never been a lack of vision. And to be clear, this process didn't start necessarily under Mayor Adams. It's gotten more steam. It's gotten more focus, yes. Right. But we've had proposals here, as you alluded to, with the athletic facility, which now you're having on the parking garages, all of which are great ideas, none of which could have worked without tremendous public dollars, not only to construct them, but to subsidize their ongoing operation. I think we all agree that's not viable. So what I'm, again, I don't want to be overly repetitive on this subject, but what I'm going to be focused on is not just the quality of the design, but the economic viability of having the private sector invest to make that happen. So what is it about your role that gives me some comfort that not only are you looking for the highest and best design for the site, but that people from the private sector will ultimately invest the money needed to make that happen?
Well, I have two responses, and then I'm going to look to the Development Commission staff to help me out here. But I think the first thing to remember about this kind of long-term planning is that what we try to do, what I think good planning tries to do, is to take advantage of every existing piece of infrastructure that's been put in there. The idea is not to tear down or to reinvent. The idea is to capitalize on what is already there. I think secondly, the creation of this plan is aimed at trying to give some surety to the private investors who have, I mean, until recently they didn't know if the Coliseum was staying or going. They didn't know where the stakeholders' allegiances lay. So it's that, those two steps at least. And then I'll defer to Scott on that.
Well, I think Mike's role really was to take a look at the Rose Quarter District, especially in context to the convention center and things that are being looked at happening across Broadway. And I think it's more to look at what the opportunities are. And part of that was looking at the proposals that were made for the Memorial Coliseum. We talked about it earlier. Didn't seem like incorporating them within the building itself might necessarily work, but there were a lot of really good ideas that would work within the neighborhood. Athletic facilities in particular, another thought is to use the exhibition space. There's about 50,000 square feet of space that's attached. If you think about this particular industry, people in Portland, I think, are great exercisers, great bike riders. This industry in particular, I think, is going to want a close, very nice athletic facility somewhere in this neighborhood. And there are privately run operations that do quite well. So it's just, I think at this point, it's looking at the planning stage. But I heard you when I made testimony, and I hear you again. And I agree with you. I mean, that's what I do every day. It has to make economic sense at the end of the day.
So one of my roles over the years here has been to be very repetitive and a little overly focused on some object, because I've learned that's about the only way you can drive home a point. So I will just repeat for those, not so much to you, Scott, because I know you hear me, that one of the concerns I've had about the Rose Quarter since being on council has been to elevate public expectations by the various processes we've had to utilize the Coliseum and or the Rose Quarter. And people then expect those things to happen. For an example, I think we will find the veterans would be very excited to learn we could actually envision to build a more appropriate memorial somewhere in the Rose Quarter than what's there now. I think the problem that has been for me is that while we do develop the highest and best design standards, we sometimes, and I hope you appreciate this, given your background, price out of the market anybody because of those design standards that could rationally invest in a project such as that. So I'm just going to, again, be very cautious as we move forward, because what I see standing there now as a Coliseum is a disrespect to veterans. It's an underutilization of a site that we have not had the funds to reinvest in. The private sector, for a variety of reasons, whether they're defensible or not, has not invested in them. Those are the downsides. The positive sides, as I said, are the Winterhawks and their new revitalized focus to do something grand, I think, for the Winterhawks. Mayor Adams' focus to make this happen, but I guess I'm going to just continuously be asking the question, are we balancing the design with the economic viability to the extent that people are willing to commit? And I'm reading this lease here, and I'm going to be looking on May 24th to ask why the Blazers haven't signed a deal if they're going to want another extension at that point. So I hope as we move forward, Mike and others that are working on this, you're balancing those two competing interests. And sometimes, unfortunately, they do compete.
Well, my direction.
Understood.
This part of town has been, as you know, this part of town has been drowning in vision. This part of town has been drowning in ideas. And
better put than I put it.
We needed to put a little bit of rigor to everyone's great idea. I can't tell you. I've heard some of the craziest ideas and some of the most innovative and smart ideas as it relates to town. And there's a lot of emotion invested in this district for historical reasons, for honorific reasons, for personal. A lot of Portland has been in a lot of these buildings or in this district. So it has been a challenge through the 17 years that this process has been underway to winnow things down. And that's why I keep coming back to, you know, the fact that this city council made a decision, Memorial Coliseum will stay. And now the question is, how do we get the best out of it at the least cost with the highest public return? I think is really important to continue to press upon. We're looking for smart, workable, public-private partnerships that are the return and the numbers and the financial plan are available for all to see. But the notion of, and you'll see, Mike, if you could go back to that, just to give you a little bit of comfort in terms of the direction that we're headed, is you'll notice that he's not suggesting, or he's reflecting that the input on the public process thus far is not reflecting tearing down the parking garages. Mm-hmm. But being smart about reskinning them, and that's because we've done our homework and found out that small retail combined with some other factors really is what the market will invest in right now. It's why we've been really clear in other drawings about what pieces are really can be redeveloped and what can't. And I think the idea is to really focus on Broadway as a spine, given our investment in streetcar. Makes a lot of sense. And as you mentioned, Mike, the fact that the Left Bank has shown, as Brad Malson has shown and others have shown, sort of that, what did you say, you can change it in a weekend with a skill sock kind of thing. And that's I think that's in the direction of authentic Portland. The Winterhawks have, we've been having great conversations about a financial partnership that's only potential around Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So we're looking to get as much private sector investment in this part of town and keep and polish the existing public sector investment that's been made. But keep poking at it. We are a long ways from having figured it out. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Who's next? Okay. Well, speaking of the Winterhawks and the Blazers, we'll hear from our development agreement partners.
Sarah Mensa with the Trailblazers. Good morning, and thank you all for the opportunity to share our perspective on the progress made so far during the Rose Quarter stakeholder advisory process. And I just want to say up front, because I know some of you are fans, I'm not taking any questions on Brandon Roy's knee. So there may be some of those questions. Anyway, we especially want to acknowledge and thank the mayor and the PDC for the work and the work of the 32-member Stakeholder Advisory Committee as well. This has been a challenging project, but their work has helped us get closer, we think, than ever before. And to echo Mayor Adams' comments about drowning in vision, it feels exciting today because it does feel like there are a lot of factors, a lot of folks, constituents coming together, and a vision is not only crystallizing, there's energy toward really getting a realistic plan in place to do something real in the Rose Quarter. So by design, the city and PDC first dealt head-on with one of the most difficult pieces of this larger puzzle that I think we know has prevented us from moving forward faster, and that is the Memorial Coliseum. And now that issue has largely been settled, they've taken the lead on planning for this larger district, and we strongly support the vision and the goals that are being expressed today. We're very excited about the direction and the spirit of collaboration and the work that's gone in so far. And as you guys know already, the Trailblazers are very, very committed and eager to see a vibrant and green effort in this area. On Portland's east side, we want to see new life, new jobs, new activity. Our president, Larry Miller, who couldn't be here today, one of the first initiatives that he mandated for us as an organization was to take up this issue of life in the Rose Quarter, as daunting of a task as that is. And I think we're getting as far as we are this time because we aren't doing that alone. There are many minds at the table and much collaboration that's going on, which has led us to where we are today. So with that in mind, we're flexible, and flexibility has guided the approach to where we are today. The process that's been set up by the PDC and the mayor is intentionally designed to foster all those ideas and then to move and activate on the best and most salient of those ideas. Veterans and community members will continue to have a voice that's central to the role and important part of the city's urban core. And we're here today because we are confident that a 6-month extension will provide an opportunity to build on the progress and the momentum that we've made so far. We believe that a revitalized district can foster job creation. It can foster additional investment and a more visible memorial for our veterans. So our hope is to see construction crews, hard hats, sooner rather than later, and we appreciate the work that's done to help get us here by the city and the PDC. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Did you introduce yourself? I'm sorry.
Yes, I said I'm Sarah. Nice. Sarah Mensa.
Good morning. My name is Doug Piper. I'm the president of the Portland Winterhawks Hockey Club, and on behalf of the Winterhawks and our owner, Bill Gallagher, I would like to begin by commending Mayor Adams for his leadership in overseeing the process that has led the community to better understand why the Veterans Memorial Coliseum should be retained as a spectator facility and not only restored to its original grandeur, but significantly upgraded to meet 21st century standards. In addition to Mayor Adams, we would like to recognize the hard work of countless individuals, including the members of the Stakeholders Advisory Committee, whose tireless effort has brought us to this point. Several months ago, the Winterhawks partnered with the Portland Trailblazers to present our ideas on what should be done to restore and upgrade the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We're happy to see that many of our original ideas have remained throughout the process, including the improvements and updating of the Veterans War Memorials themselves. We're also gratified that it was important enough to the community that the Winterhawks remain the primary tenant of the Coliseum that we were included in all of the final proposals. At a time when there had been some criticism that Portland can't hold on to its longtime franchises, the city of Portland took lengthy steps to see that the Winterhawks, a franchise that has been in Portland for over 34 years, has a long-term home. In return, the Winterhawks recently began the process of working with the mayor's office, PDC, and Portland Arena Management to identify the role we will play in making the vision for the Coliseum a reality. Furthermore, the Winterhawks have been very happy with our relationship with the Trailblazers and feel they've had great vision and the professional expertise to maximize the opportunities surrounding the development of the Rose Quarter. This vision and expertise is essential to making this massive undertaking not only come to fruition, but be financially successful. It is also the cornerstone of any future success that will come with the remodel of the Coliseum, an important city-owned asset. Since our ownership and management team took over operation of the Winterhawks 2 years ago, we have been very fortunate to have had good luck in rebuilding a very broken franchise. As part of our commitment to the community, the Winterhawks recently took over operation of Valley Ice Arena and invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in remodeling this important community center, creating the Winterhawks Skating Center, devoted primarily to the development of youth skating programs. This is the kind of investment we are willing to make in Portland and the surrounding area that we feel, if we feel that our projects have a chance for success. In the case of the Rose Quarter, we feel our involvement as primary tenant of a remodeled Memorial Coliseum will be well served if we have the Trailblazers in the position of developer of the Rose Quarter. Their understanding of the business and their resources make them the perfect choice for the job. We recommend that development agreement rights be extended to the Trailblazers in order to keep this project moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. I appreciate those that have signed up to testify, and we'll try to, I think this was our last panel, is that right? One more. Okay, thank you both very much. I appreciate everyone's patience. Oh, of course. Sorry. The fine print.
The fun part.
You could please introduce yourselves, yep. And we'll go through some specifics of the actual agreement.
Good morning. Skip Newberry with the Mayor's Economic Development Team. We'll have before us presenting today Dina Alexander and Dave Logsdon. Dina is with outside counsel for the City on the Steel, Ball Janik, and Dave Logsdon is with the Office of Management and Finance. Dina's going to do a quick summary of the structure of the deal agreements, the amendments to those agreements, and what that means for the six-month extension. Dave Logsdon is going to spend a couple minutes talking about the role that OMF would likely play with a six-month extension, given that they will be delegated some responsibility to oversee this process over the next 6 months, working closely with the Portland Development Commission as well as the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Thanks, Skip. Good morning, Commissioners. Dina Alexander, Ball Janik. As Skip mentioned, I want to provide you with an overview of the documents that are in front of you, and it's going to make sense, I believe, to start with the amendments. And the general purpose of those amendments to kick this off is to extend an option that the Blazers, or PAM, the entity, currently has to exercise development rights over public parking garage development areas at the Rose Quarter, as well as to extend the term of the ground lease for phase two of what is known as the entertainment complex. And I thought it would be helpful to step back very briefly to provide the context. There are four primary agreements that still govern relations between the city and PAM at the Rose Quarter, and those are the development agreement, which was entered into in 1992 for the development of the Rose Garden Arena and for other facilities in the Rose Quarter. There is a ground lease by which the city has leased to PAM the arena land. There is an entertainment complex lease that is the lease of the city to PAM as well. It has two parcels, a phase one that is already built upon and phase two, which is one of the areas that is yet to be developed. And then, of course, Memorial Coliseum operating agreement. So with that brief backdrop, I also wanted to walk you through PAM's current development rights under these documents. And there are pictures, exhibits attached to the documents that are in front of you, so you could actually see these if that's helpful. One are the public garage development areas, and those are shown on Exhibit A to the Fifth Amendment that's in front of you. On Exhibit B in that same document are the Coliseum development areas that are depicted. These are areas right around the existing Memorial Coliseum. Third, on Exhibit C are the PDOT development areas, a relatively small piece on the south end of the Rose Quarter. And finally, on an amendment to the second amendment to the entertainment complex lease that is in front of you is the phase two entertainment complex. And on that exhibit, there's a depiction of both phase one, which is already developed on with some office and retail, as well as the smaller Phase 2 site, which is potential and anticipated office and retail development. On November 24th, next week, the rights as to the public garage development areas and the Phase 2 parcel of the entertainment complex are set to expire. The other rights over the Coliseum development area and the PDOT development area do not expire. So we're here, and these amendments are addressing two of